So, b'inyan the matter of Moshe. So, we have various midrashim and mamarim from Chazal and from the Mefarshim, which I saw discussed in various places. Amongst them, the Torah Shlema brings down many inyanim, the Oitzer Plaus HaTorah, and other mamakomas as well, which the Shari Aaron, which discuss and bring down the various Maimakomas regarding the Matar Shel Moshe and its significance. We see that it was a very big player in the role of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's amongst lots of, I should say, a mystery. It's a very mysterious matter, this Matar of Moshe. So let's go through some of the various Chazals, B'siyata D'Shmaya, which I mentioned in the Midrashim and other places, and try to understand the true nature of this matter. We seemingly have a stira in Midrashim as to the history and the timeline of the matter. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar in Perek Mem, he writes something fascinating about this matter. He says, this is the matter which the Mishnah says in Avos, which was created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. And this matter was given to Adam, and Adam thereby gave it to Chanoich. And there was a Messiah following that it was given to Shem. And Shem gave it to Noach. Noach gave it to Shem. And then Shem gave it to Avram, to Yitzhak, to Yaakov. And Yaakov gave it to Yosef. And this is where things get interesting. It says that when Yaakov gave it to Yosef, Yosef brought it down to Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, it says that after the Ptira of Yosef, Paro coveted this matter of Yosef. And he took it. And apparently he placed it in some type of a museum of Sat. And then, when Yisro was fleeing Paro and fleeing Mitzrayim, he took that matah with him. When he arrived in Midian, he took that matah and he put it in the ground. And after putting it in the ground, he wasn't able to take it out. Nobody was able to take it out. In fact, he promised that anybody who would be able to pull out this matah from the ground, he would give him his daughter. And that was all true until Moshe came along. And Moshe pulled it out, and was zeicha therefore to marry Tzipor, and this was therefore the matah of Moshe. I guess this is the makor for those who are familiar with it, the sword and the stone. So, lahavdil. So, this is one version, according to the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, as to the travels of the matah of Moshe. Now, Yalkut Shimoni in Parashas Chukas brings a very different story than this. And what we have is something much more condensed, and with many gapes and holes. The Yalkut Shimoni tells us that Yaakov had the matah, he gave it to Yehuda. And then the Medrash says it was found Biad Moshe, and Moshe gave it to Aharon. And later, this is the matah which David had, and every single melech from Bnei Yisrael had it until Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yet, this is the matah which will be used by Mashiach in the times of the Achris Hayamim. So, seemingly, we have two very different accounts to the history of the matah. Like we mentioned in Yaakov Shemayni, we don't have exactly the timeline, because it says Yaakov gave it to Yehuda. Now Yehuda never met Moshe. So then how did Moshe get it? And it says that Moshe gave it to Aharon. And then it was Biad David, Biad Kol Melech and Melech Yisrael. And then it was buried. So we have a Medrash Seichel Tov, which tells us that Yirmiyah buried the Matah together with the other Kalim at the time of the Churban. So we do see from here an end to the life, so to speak, of the Matah until it will be placed once again in the hands of Melech Mashiach. But in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, we don't have a final accounting of the matas of Moshe. So, we need to have an understanding as to what's taking place here. Now, the Medrash in Shmois Rabbah, as we'll get to, but before seeing that, the Zohar Kadosh already opens up to understand the mystery of this matter. Zohar Kadosh tells us from the teachings of Pnimius HaTorah, this is in Zohar Kadosh Parshas Beshalach, the Zohar tells us in Zohar Kadosh that there were really Shnei Matos, there were really two staffs. One is the Matah of Hashem, and one is the Matah of Moshe. It's quoting Rabbi Yossi as saying so. So where do we have an inkling and a peek into understanding these two Midrashim, what would seem therefore is that Pirkei Rabbi Elazar is accounting one matah, and the Yalkut Shemayni is giving an account of the second matah. Now, to better understand this, we find as well in various midrashim, without bringing them all down, that a discrepancy as to what was the nature of this matah. It would seem, according to some midrashim, that the matah of Moshe was made of sanpirion, which is sapphire. Yet other midrashim seem to imply, and some say explicitly, that the matah was a matah shel eitz. Based on the Zohar Kaddish, we have an understanding that really it's not a machlekes, that there were really two matas. There's the matah of sanpirion, and there's the matah shel eitz. Just going back to the midrashim, we can already start to plug things in, that this matah shel sanpirion, of the two stories which we saw before, Pirkei Derabbanan and Yalkut Shemayni, so it seemed that the matah shel sanpirion is the story which is quoted in Pirkei Derabbanan. It says that Yisro took that matah and he placed it in his yard, and nobody could pull it out because of its heaviness. And it says that Moshe, when he pulled it out, it was like as if he was pulling out wood from a tree. Now, it's as if it was pulling out wood from a tree, but of course it was extremely heavy. And so that would be, of course, the matah shel sanpirion. As we'll see later, this is the matah shel Moshe. And the reason why it was so heavy is because Chazal say that this matah shel sanpirion weighed 40 sah. Now, of course, sah is usually a measure of liquid, but of course Chazal are just telling us that it was something which was extremely, extremely heavy. So we see right away that the matah in Pirkei Derabbanan, based on the revelation of the Zohar Kaddish, that there's two matas, there's the matah shel sanpirion and matah shel eitz. So that teaches us that the Pirkei Derabbanan is speaking about the matah shel sanpirion. Now, we do understand how Moshe Rabbeinu got this matah shel sanpirion. He got it from the house of Yisrael. Now, we find something very interesting, that when Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's standing by the sneh, so Hashem says to Moshe, "Vayomer el Moshe, maze biyadecha vayomer matah." So of course this needs an hesber. Like, what's going on over here? Like, Moshe Rabbeinu is in kindergarten. He needs to be taught that he has a staff in his hand. This seems like a very superfluous and inexplainable conversation between Hashem Yisbarach and Moshe. But the pshat is that here what was taking place, that Hashem Yisbarach allowed a matah to appear into the hand of Moshe. That here Hashem revealed to Moshe the second matah. And that's why Hashem says to Moshe, "Maze biyadecha, what is this in your hand?" As if that suddenly something appeared in his hand. And Moshe said, "Oh, this is a matah." So here was the giving of the matah that Hashem gave to Moshe. That would seemingly be pshat. And this is supported by a ritva. That the Torah Shlema brings a ritva on his perish on the Haggadah, of all places, where he writes that the matah shel Moshe was given to him by on Har Sinai by the Sneh. So this is mamish. This pshat is hand in hand together with that ritva. This matah would therefore have to be the matah shel eitz, because we already explained that the matah shel sanpirion Moshe pulled out of the yard of Yisrael. This goes along with that which I found also in the Hashmatas of Torah Shlema. He quotes a Sefer Ri Bar Tzilaini on his Perish and Sefer Yetzirah, where he writes there that the matah shel Moshe was a matah shel eitz, and he says it was made of wood because the sneh was made out of wood, and the eitz too was made from out of wood. So this is actually merumas in the pasuk, because the pasuk says Vayomer Hashem al Moshe maze biyadecha, and if you take a look at the Torah, it doesn't say maze as two words; it says maze. So somebody pointed out to me that it's very nice. It really isn't maze; it's mize, as if to say that the eitz which is in your hand comes from this. It comes from the sneh. So you see here that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the matah shel eitz while he was standing at the sneh. And this is supported by a Ma'ar Makom, which is quoted in the Oitzer Plus Alatayra. He quotes a Shalos and Tshuva Sofnas Panech, which is a Tzofas Panech Kadmo, not the Rogachover, who says very clearly that there were two matas. There was a matah Eitz Shel Sanpirion, and there was a matah Shel Sanpirion, and there was a matah Shel Eitz. Going back to our Midrashim, so we know before that the Pirkei Derabbanan is speaking about the matah shel sanpirion. That was the matah which Moshe took from the Gan of Yisrael, which is going all the way back to Adam HaRishon. And we go back to the Medrash Seichel Tov, to the Yalkut Shemayni, excuse me, which told us that it was given to Yaakov, and Yaakov to Yehuda, and Yehuda to Moshe. And so we ask, what do you mean from Yehuda? And it was therefore, and then it just says, and it was a biyad Moshe. What happened? How did it get to the hands of Moshe? So the teretz is that it was given to Moshe from Hashem. And the Oimek HaHezber with this is as follows. that Chazal speak about, and you see this from the Torah, that there's a matah and there's a matah lekim. So the matah lekim means it's Hashem's staff, and Hashem gives it to those who find chen in His eyes. How did Yaakov get it? The Medrash didn't say how Yaakov got it. The Torah says that Hashem loved Yaakov and He gave him the matah, and then Yaakov gave it to Yehuda, and then it was taken away from Yehuda, and then it was given to Moshe. When was it given to Moshe? So it comes along the Ritva, and the Ritva tells us that it was given to Moshe by the Sneh. So you see that there's this matah that's called the matah lekim, which is Hashem's matah, that He gives to those who He seems fit to give to. And then it says in that Medrash, as we said before, Moshe gave it to Aharon. So Moshe gave it to Aaron, because really Moshe had two staffs now. He had the matah shel Sanperion and he had the matah shel Eitz. So why did he think to give this to Aaron? L'chora the pshat is, because Hashem said to Moshe while he was standing by the Sneh, He says, go find your brother Aaron. So the smichas aparashas, the fact that Hashem revealed this matah and He said, go find Aaron, implied to Moshe that he doesn't need two staffs, he should give this one to Aaron. So he gave this matah to Aaron HaKohen. And this is supported again by that Safas Panech, where he writes there that the Eitz of Sanperion was the Eitz of Moshe, and the Matah of Sanperion was the Matah of Moshe, and the Matah of Eitz was the Matah of Aharon. So with this in place, we can understand the will be ma'ayin into what took place by Makastam. We have a few kashas. Based on this Yisod, that the Zohar Kaddish tells us that there's two Matas, of the Matah Aharon and the Matah of Moshe. So we find something very interesting in Parashas Va'era by the Makkah of Dam. That it says in Perek Zayin, Hashem says to Moshe, Leichel Paro, I want you to go to Paro, V'hamata asher nepach l'nachash tikach b'yadecha, I want you to take your matah with you. And then when it comes to the Makkah, Hashem says to Moshe, tell Aaron, kach matcha netiyadcha me'im Mitzrayim, I want you to take your staff and raise it above the waters of Mitzrayim. And then it says, V'yasu kein Moshe v'Aharon. Moshe and Aaron, they both did the Makkah. Kasha tziva Hashem, like Hashem commanded, vayorem b'mata, and he lifted up his staff, vayaches hamayim. So we need to clarify what's going on over here. The Torah attributes the matah to both Moshe and Aaron. It says, vayasu kein Moshe and Aaron. But when it talks about the matah, it refers to one person, vayorem b'mata, and we really don't know which matah it was. Was it the matah shel Eitz, or was the matah shel Sanperion? Because really, Moshe and Aaron were both commanded to take their matahs. So the Chordab chat is as follows. That really, there are two matas. But really, these two matas are really one matah. Because there really is one matah, and that's the matah which the mission refers to, that there was a matah which was created on the Erev Shabbos being Ashmashos. It's just that matah, when it was created, was made of both Sanperion and Eitz. It's just that this matah is able to separate into two parts. That it become a matah shel Eitz, and it become also a matah of Sanperion. And that's it was given both to Moshe, because it really has one shayrish. It's just that Moshe had the Sanperion part of this matah, and Aaron had the other part of the matah. When it came to the Makkah of Dam, what happened was that Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, I want you to merge the matahs together, to become one matah when doing this Makkah. So therefore the Torah tells you that Moshe and Aaron were both instructed to take their matahs, and since it's both of their matahs, the Torah therefore tells us. It says, Vayasu kein Moshe ve'Aharon. Moshe and Aaron both did it. But it says only one person, Vayarna and Bamata, Chazal tell us that's Aaron, because Moshe didn't hit the water. But it says Bamata because it's referring to the one and only Mata, because at this point both of the Matas were merged together. And that's merumas in the word Bamata, which is like Bez Mata. That it's really one Mata, but it's Bez Matos, which come together to make one Mata. So therefore, it's the Eitz Ve'Evan, it's the Eitz and Sanperion, which came together to make one Mata. This is supported from the pasuk right before this, where the Torah tells us that Hashem tells Moshe to take the matah, v'yihyu dam, v'haya dam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim ba'itzim u'ba'avonim, and then it says v'yasu kein Moshe v'Aaron v'yaron b'matah. Why does the Torah note that the matah of dam will be ba'itzim u'ba'avonim? The Torah says that since the matah is really a matah here of what Eitz and Evan, of a yichud of Eitz and Sanperion, so therefore that's why the Torah is medayik that the matah is going to go to where ba'itzim u'ba'avonim. Because the shayrish of the makkah comes from the matah, which is from Eitz Ve'Evan. With this, we can understand and make a yishuv between the Zohar Kaddish and the Medrash we alluded to before in Shmais Rabbah, that the Medrash says in Shmais Rabbah there was really only one matah. If Moshe is holding it, it's called the matah of Moshe. If Aaron is holding it, it's called the matah of Aaron. If Hashem is using it, it's called the matah like him. So how does that work out with the Zohar, which says explicitly, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Shnei Matas Hayu? So the third says, Elu Elu Devilakim Chaim. It's really two matas, but really one. that in its shirish it's really one, and when they're merged together it's one, when they're separated they're two. The Sanperim belongs to Moshe and the Eitz belongs to Aharon. Now we find something very interesting when it comes to the Matav Aharon, that the Torah tells us Vayivle Matav Aharon es Mataisam. It says that when the Chartumim, when they threw down their staffs and it turned into Nechashim, so it says that the Matav Aharon swallowed it up. So what's going on over here? Since when is a Matav able to swallow up another Matav? And what? It didn't have a big belly? It never had to spit it out? It just became absorbed in the Matav? Is that the way that the world works? So I'm thinking that the pshat is as follows. That the merging of these two Matavs was like a zivug between Ish and Isha. That there's the Matav Shel Sanperin of Moshe, which is like the Zachar, and there's the Matav Shel Eitz, which is like a Nekeva. And here, when the Matav Aharon swallowed up the Matav of the Chartumim, it became like impregnated with these Matavs of the Chartumim. So therefore, later on, when we find in the Torah, in Parshas Korach, that after the rebellion of Korach, Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to take the Matav Aharon and all the Matavs of all the other Nisim, and to put it in the Kodesh Kodashim to be Mevara, that Aharon is the real Kohen. So of course we know what happened, that the Matav Aharon was the one which sprouted, that it blossomed. So we don't know the nature of these other Matavs, of the other Nisim. Where did they come from? The pshat is that when the Matav Aharon swallowed up these other Matavs, later on, when it had this Zivug together with the Matav Sanperion, it gave birth to these other Matavs, which later became the Matavs of these Nisim. And that's why whenever the Torah refers to the Nisim, the Torah is Medag, and it says, Ulamate Shevet Yisachar Nasi. Why is it called a Mate? The reason why it's called a Mate is because every single Nasi in Klal Yisrael of those Shvatim had his own Mate. And the reason why the Mate of Aharon was the one which sprouted was to show that really the Mate of Aharon is the one which is the mother one. And the Mates which surrounded it were like her children. And that's where the Mate of Aharon is the one which is crowned as the real Mate. And so therefore it comes out that the other Matas, which the Nisim had, were taken from the Chartumim, which were like the princes of Mitzrayim, and given over to the princes of the Shvatim. We'll come back to this in a little bit later. But just before we move on, so I want to go to the Haggadah Shel Pesach. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which is of course the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we find a reference to the Matan and Magid. Because when we're darshaning the different psukim there, the Torah tells us Viha Osos, and the Magid tells us Viha Osos Zeha Mate, as the Pasuk says, V'samate Zeh Tikach B'yadech Asher Tase V'osa Osos. So, of course, the Mate was responsible for the Makas. Chazal tell us, Pekid Ublaza quotes it there, that the Tzachadash B'achav was written on the Matav Moshe, the Matav Shel Sanperion. So just with Derech Remez, we can say as follows, that we say, Kadish Urchatz Karpas Yachatz Magid Rachza. So we have Yachatz, and then we have Magid. So of course, Magid is the story of the Makos. But before we can have the story of the Makos, we need to have the Matos. So therefore, we could say as follows, that we know that there are three Matzos, which correspond to Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. But we know it also corresponds to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, which are the three Goyalim. The top matzah, which is Keneged Kahuna, is Aaron. The bottom matzah, which is Yisrael, is Keneged Miriam. And the middle matzah is Keneged Moshe, who is the Levi. And we find by the middle matzah, there's this idea that it's one matzah, but it's broken into two. This is Merames on the fact that Moshe had one matzah, and the matzah was broken into two parts. There's one part, which is the bigger part, which is Tzafon. And then there's the other one, which is for Lechem Oni, which is for the Matzah Shel Mitzvah. Even B'derech Remez, you can say that there's a correlation between Matzah and the word Matzah. That really the letters Mem and Hey in the front and the back are equal. The only difference is the Tes and the Tzadi in the middle. But since the Matzah does 10 Makos, so you have to multiply the Tes times 10. So Tes, which is 9, times 10 is Tzadi, which is 90. So therefore the Matzah and the Matzah are related to each other. And the Mem and the Hey say the same because Al-Pikabal, you can explain that there's this certain Shem Ma, which is responsible for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course, even the word Moshe has a lot to do with this because there's a Mem and a Hey in for Moshe, and the only difference is the Shin in the middle. Be it as it may, you find here that this Yachatz is a Remez to the two matas. And that's why b'gematria, if you take the word mate and you do mate times two, it's a gematria yachatz. So it shows you that the yachatz breaks into two matas, which is really two matas. Now if you take a look at how we trace these two matas, so one of them, of course, we eat as a simin to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the smaller one. And the bigger one, we put away for Tzafon towards the end of the Seder. And we'll come back to that at the end of Mirtz Hashem. If we turn our attention to Parshas Chukas, the Torah tells us in Parshas Chukas that there's a rebellion which is taking place against Moshe. And Hashem says to Moshe that the Jews need water. So Hashem tells Moshe, I want you to take your staff, v'dibartem el hasela, and I want you to speak to the rock. So of course we know that Moshe takes the staff, and he goes ahead and he hits the rock. So the question we have to deal with is, which matah was Moshe asked to take? Which matah did he take? Did he take the matah of Sampirion? Or did he take the matah of Eitz? So, if you take a look carefully in the Psukim, it tells us which matah, which is the matah which was chosen. The Torah tells us, Kachas amata. I want you to take the matah, v'hakel ha'saida ata v'aron achicha, v'dibartem el hasela. So, v'yikach Moshe es hamatah milifnei Hashem kasher tzivahu. What is the matah which is lifnei Hashem? So, of course, we know if we go back to Parshas Korach, which wasn't so long ago from Chukas, so the Torah tells us that after the rebellion against Moshe and Aaron, Hashem told Moshe, I want you to take the matah of Aaron and to place it in the Kodesh Kodeshim, la'ois livnei Mary, so that if there's ever a rebellion, they'll remember these matas. Right? So whenever the Torah says milifnei Hashem, it's always related to the heichal of the Kodesh Kodeshim. So here, if Moshe is going and taking the matah lifnei Hashem, he went in to take the matah of Eitz. Why would he take the matah of Eitz, which is put away in the Kodesh Kodeshim? Why didn't he just use the matah shel Sampirion? So the pshat is that here there was a rebellion against Moshe and a rebellion against Aaron. And Hashem had already said, whenever there's a rebellion, so take out the matah, la'ois livnei Mary. There's going to be an oath to remind them not to make rebellions against you. And look exactly what happens here. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the matah, and what does he say to the Jewish people in the very next pasuk? Shimu no hamayrim, right? He says Shimu no hamayrim. He's calling them rebels, and he's holding the staff in his hand as if to remind them, remember what happened last time with Korach. And of course it says after he took them to the Sela, and he hit the Sela. So a Sela is Bigamatra 8, right? And that's exactly this matah. The matah of Aaron, which is a five relief name, is the matah shel Eitz. So the Zayar, I should say, the Yalkut Ruveni, in Parshas Chukas, he quotes something fascinating. He says that the matah, which Moshe hit over here with the rock when he was really supposed to speak to it, had a shaychis to the Eitz Hadas Toivira. And only after that it had a tikkun and became the Eitz Chaim. So of course this is a shtickle shver. What does it mean that it had a shaychis to the Eitz Hadas Toivira? Is this not the matah lakim, which was given to each tzaddik, like we said before, from the Medrash and the Yalkut Shemayni? So it could be the pshat is as follows, like we said before, that since this matah of Aaron swallowed up the matahs of the Chartumim, so by swallowing up the matas of the Chartumim, it left an impression of the matah lekim that it had a certain reisa, that it was once a matah shel toiv, but now that it swallowed up the Chartumim's matas, so it left an impression of Tumas Mitzrayim on the matah, and that's called an itzadas toivera, that it was already toiv, because it was the matah of Moshe, and we know that Moshe's name is Tov, Vateira Haisha ki toivu, that she saw that he was good. Moshe's called Tov, his name is Tovia, whereas since it swallowed up the matas of the Chartumim, so that has a shaykhis to Paro. Paro is Per Ra. Paro is a shaykhis to the Indian of Ra. So after swallowing up the matas of the Chartumim, therefore now had a shaykhis to the Eitz Hadas Tzivira. And that caused Moshe to hit the rock, says the Yalkut Ruveni. So that would explain why it is such a heilig matah has a shaykhis to the Eitz Hadas Tzivira, because this is the matah, which we said before, the matah of Aharon, which was used to swallow up the other matas before. So what comes out from here is that we have two matas, which is really one matah, which is the matah from Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. When we go back to the Midrashim, the Midrash tells us that the end of this matah is of the matah Elikim, we should say, of the matah Eitz, that was given to Yaakov, to Yehuda, to Moshe, and Aharon, and then apparently when Aaron died, it was taken away, and then given to David, and it was Biad Kol Melech B'Yisrael until it was buried in the times of Yirmiyah. If you take a look at Pirkei Avot Elazar, it doesn't tell us what happened to this matah of Moshe. It just says that Moshe had it, and that's it. We don't know whatever happened to the matah of Sampirion. So perhaps we can explain based on the Abarbanel. There's a Abarbanel in Parshas Beshalach who says, whatever happened to the matah shel Sampirion, it was buried together with Moshe. was buried together with Moshe. So, at first glance, I would have said, hey, this Abarbanel is a sliver to the Medrash, which says in Yishalkut Shemayni that it was buried. So, according to what we established before, that it's really not a sliver at all. There's the Mata Shel Moshe, and that Mata is buried together with Moshe. Like the din is that nobody else is allowed to use the Kalim of a Melech, even the Melech after him. That's why it was buried with Moshe. Whereas the Mata of Eitz, which is the Mata Lakim, so that's going to be given over, that was buried by Yirmiyah, and is going to be given over to Melech Mashiach. So what we see from here is that there's the Mata of Mashiach and there's the Mata of Moshe. So the Chor, going back to what we spoke about before by Yachas, we can understand very well the two Chalakim of the Matzah. Because one Chalik of the Matzah is Bechinas, the Mata Shel Moshe, and the other one is the Chalik of the Matzah, which is the Mata of Mashiach. So the Chalik which belongs to Moshe, of course, is the Lechem Oni, because Moshe is the Goyel from Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's the smaller one. And when it came to time to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, so that was the Ikar Matah, the Matah Shel Sanpirion, because Moshe was the Goyal. And the Matah Shel Eitz, which is the Matah of Aaron, was only secondary. But in the times of Mashiach, Chazal tell us that when Mashiach is Nisgale, so the Gemara Brachas tells us that Yemosa Mashiach, so that Ge'ulu will be Ikar, and Yetzias Mitzrayim will be Tafel. It was only by Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was the opposite, that Yetzias Mitzrayim was Ikar, and Bechid of Mashiach was Tafel. So therefore, now we can explain why it is that the other Chelik of the Matah, of the matzah, which is the bigger chilek, which is tzafon, that's like what we said before, that it was nignas, that Yirmiyah was magnezet. That's what tzafon means, that it was buried. And when we eat the chilek of the afikomen, of course it's a remez to the times of Mashiach eating that tzafon. It's a bechinas afikomen, which we're going to eat the korban Pesach in the times of Mashiach. What we see from here is that the two chalakim of the matzah correspond to the two matzahs. That there's the chilek matzah, which is the bechinas Moshe, and there's the chilek of the matzah, which is bechinas Mashiach Tzidkenu, which corresponds to these two chalakim of the matzah. But really in its sharish, it's one, like Chazal tell us, that Moshe is Mashiach. Like the Zohar says, Masha Hayah Hu Sheyihyeh, that Moshe, who was the Goyal Rishon, will be the future Goyal as well. Masha Hayah Hu Sheyihyeh is Rosh Tevas Moshe. The Moshe is the Bechina Mashiach. So really, just like the matzah are one, so too the Goyim also in the sharish is one. So really, we see something very fascinating about this matzah, that it was created in the beginning of time, which is the beginning of the Torah, and it was given to Adam. And also with the conclusion of the Torah, which is the Ptir of Moshe, so says the Abarbanel, it was buried together with Moshe. So it really literally spans the entire Torah, this matter. So it's something which is very significant. And with a little bit of amgas into the Sugya B'Siyata D'Shemaya, we see this idea that it's really Shnei Matas, which are really one. And with this B'Siyata D'Shemaya, Yilu Ve'ilu, Diyar Elokim Chaim. Hashkoyach.